Hi everyone, welcome back to Prevention Nation,
where we believe education and awareness can change the culture of violence. I'm Caitlin Wagenfield.
And I'm Roy Letts. Welcome back to Prevention Nation. It's Roy here with Caitlin, and we're gonna talk about a little trend that is new for me, but you said you've seen it around a little bit.
It pops up from time to time. It's very similar with a lot of trends that involve like violence towards women. I feel like they rotate through cycles.
Okay, yeah, I would agree. A lot of that stuff is cyclical. I sometimes see videos that people are like, oh, look at this. I'm like, I saw this like 5 years ago. Yeah. So, okay, so I don't know where this trend started, how it started, who started it, or if it's on its third cycle. But the other day, a TikTok popped up for me. Where this question was, would you rather leave your kid or baby, whatever the analogy is, alone in the woods with a bear or a man? And it wasn't that one that caught me so much, Caitlin. It wasn't like when I saw that one that I was just like, oh, blown away. The one that caught me was a duet or a stitch. I can't remember which one it is. It was a person, they played that, or first it was a guy saying, they played that, and then it was a guy saying, are there really that many women being attacked or mauled in the woods by men? And then the person, you know, stitches in that, and starts reading all of the attacks of a woman in a park, woman dragged into the woods, woman assaulted in the woods, woman raped in these woods, woman attacked here, and just reading all these incidences, and I can't think of, and it was challenged, like, I can't think of the last time I've heard about a woman being mauled in the woods by an actual bear, a black bear, brown bear, polar bear in the Arctic. I mean, it's just, I don't know when those happen, but men are clearly assaulting women in the woods often. So getting back to that original question, who would you rather leave your kid alone with, a bear or a man? What's your answer to that?
I mean, I've said this before, that bears are peaceful unless provoked. They just want to scratch their backs on trees and find their food, protect their cubs, right? Okay, so like mama bears, when there's cubs, different. They can be pretty violent. Right. But ultimately, if you see a bear in the woods, they always tell you, like, to do what?
Yeah, stay still, stand still.
Yeah, leave it alone.
Yep.
It's going to go away.
They're terribly skittish animals.
Exactly, because they're more scared of humans than they are, than we are of them.
Rightfully so.
We're terrifying, honestly. Who knows what a man would do to the bear, right? Might try to fight the bear, and then the bear's like, oh no, now I'm going to get in trouble.
Right?
But
exactly. The bear's worried about
them. But ultimately, they're pretty peaceful creatures.
They are.
Just existing. People go into their lands and bother them and disrupt them. But ultimately, if you leave them alone, stand still, they're not going to hurt you.
Right. Yeah, and I think some of the initial like guys' responses, I mean, I get it. Obviously, I'm not going to walk over and put my baby in the paws of a wild bear. That's ridiculous. But the notion and the concept around the fact that a person has to think, and I think that's what's most critical to me, because if that question, and there's videos out there where they flip the question, would you rather leave your kid alone in the bear with woods or with a woman? Immediate response is with a woman. I mean, there's not even a delay. But with a man, obviously, I don't want to, like I said, put my kid into a bear's den. But the fact that you have to pause about if your kid is safe with a man, just a man, and then there's men in these videos that ask, like, well, what do I know about the man? What do I know about the bear? How close is the man to the baby or the kid? How close is the bear? Like, why are there questions? You should have no worry if a human is going to harm your child, and yet we do for men. Why?
As a male, have you ever thought about the fact that, like, you might make people feel unsafe? Like, has that ever, like, been in your head in situations
before? All the time. Yeah. I mean, and I don't know if I always had. I don't even know when it happened. But sometime over just this last, I'd say, decade of my life, I've become aware of it so much so that I intentionally, deliberately make choices, and it hasn't been a sacrifice at all. So I don't want any men out there listening to me saying, oh, look at, see, he's made these. It wasn't hard. It wasn't hard to make adjustments, and I do it because I understand. But like, if I'm leaving Walmart, for example, and there's a woman leaving with me, I'll just stay back by the door until they get to their car. I don't walk out alongside them in the dark. Or if I see a woman coming towards me on a sidewalk and there's not a lot of people around, it's in the city or something, I will literally just cross the street and let her feel safe and walk past me, not have to worry about who I am and what my intentions are. I try to be very intentional, but you ask, because why?
Well, just a lot of the people in those videos, mm-hmm. they were so shocked. Where, like, the one person was like, are women being attacked in the woods all the time? And it's just, like, the lack of awareness. So, like, obviously you work in the field that we work in.
Right.
So you have an awareness to it, but not everybody does. I was walking my dog, and there's a bike path behind my house, so I like to walk my dog back there. But I don't walk back there alone. I always walk back there with my dog.
Yeah.
Because it's a long bike path. It's hidden from the road. Not a lot of people are on it. And I was walking my dog, and somebody was walking behind me, and I was very on edge. I'm like, okay, I'm aware that there is a man about 200 feet back from me. You know, he's pretty steady in, like, the speed that he's going. But at one point, he was speeding up, and I was getting very nervous. And he even said, hey, I'm going to pass you on your left-hand side. I just want to get in front of you because I don't want to make you uncomfortable. And I was like, huh. Like, I've never had anybody, like, make that accommodation for me before.
Right.
But maybe, I don't know, maybe he could sense that I was uncomfortable. I had my dog a little closer to me. But ultimately, like, it was interesting that even he recognized that he could make me uncomfortable.
Yeah, which, I mean, and the reason why I asked why did you ask it, because I kind of thought you were going to say, like, it's just amazing to me that, I'm going to flip it a little bit, you've never, I would guess, done that to make me feel safer, have you? To make a man feel safer? Have you ever worried about if men feel safer on you?
Not if they feel safe, but I have in situations, just because I know that the way things can be flipped, I just like to make sure that there are lots of people around. And that sounds really bad if I'm interacting with, like, men in general. That sounds so bad. But I just like that there's people around, and not always just for, like, my safety, but also, like, you know, if there's other people around, there's other perspectives of what's going on.
Yeah. Everybody's safe. Again, it's because you probably work in this field. Like, with me, I think we're kind of exceptions, not exceptional people, but we are exceptions because we have a higher level of awareness based on the work that we do. But I think that, I would think that a lot of women don't worry about if their presence on a street corner makes the guy approaching them nervous because he's going to feel unsafe because she might hurt him. So women, like, don't think about that because men aren't in danger. Men don't realize and acknowledge this and understand that that woman standing there in a corner feels like she's in danger. But I don't feel in danger standing at a corner with a woman walking towards me. I don't not walk up to the corner because there's a woman standing there. But I will, if there are, is a guy standing there, I do walk up and prepare in my head if I'm going to get attacked.
I mean, we talked about this last week, but I had a woman approach me at the grocery store, and she was complimenting my jeans, and we had a really good conversation, and then she asked for my name and number, and I just gave it to her. But, like, if a man had approached me and complimented my jeans and, like, had an interesting conversation,
it would have been a very different feeling.
Likes and dislikes and things that I like to do, I would have ran away.
Yeah.
I'd been like, I'm uncomfortable, bye.
Yeah, perception of safety is everything. I mean, clearly from this discussion, and you know, and that's, I think we talked about it earlier in preparing for this podcast, but in the video, the guy making the joke, like, are women really being mauled in the woods by bears? He had headphones on, full headphones, and he was on a hike, and as somebody else duetted it, saying, like, oh, what, how nice it is, or no, that's right, it was in the comments, how nice it is that you get to wear both headphones, women only wear one. And I was like, what? So I right away text my daughter Lauren. I was like, when you go, because she hikes all the time, I said, when you take hikes or you go work out in a gym and stuff like that, do you put both your headphones in? She's like, are you crazy, Dad? No way. I was like, what? And, like, that's real? Girls wear one earbud?
Yeah, and then I even have, like, my Beats that I wear, and I only ever put it over one ear. Like, I'll put the other in the back of my head.
What are you keeping an open ear for?
People. Sounds.
Like, do you honestly, like, when you're sitting there and you're like, I'm gonna go for a hike, I'm gonna go for a jog, is that a conscious thought? You're like, I gotta be aware.
Yes, every day. And if I'm going on a hike, I'm not going in the woods alone.
See, and that's where I think this discussion is so important, because I would, I walk, I go to New York frequently. I walk all New York City. Everywhere from, you know, lower Manhattan all the way up to, over, you know, north of, Central Park into Harlem. I walk in everywhere from Queens to, you know, Brooklyn, and I put both my headphones in. I don't even know what's going on around me. That's and insane. It never even occurs to me for 1 second that I might be in danger.
Yeah. Even walking my dog in the city that I live in Ohio, like I would never walk without my dog. And I know that sounds weird, but my dog is level of safety. I have a pit bull.
Yeah.
People tend to be pretty scared of my dog, even though he's very sweet. But, I mean, I kind of do that on purpose. I like having a scary big dog.
Yeah. Well, and clearly based on our conversation about perception and safety, you feel as though that is comforting to you. Having a, you have an ear open for potential threat, and you have a dog that is, by a lot of standards, typically threatening looking, or at least looks threatening
enough. He's pretty muscular. Yeah,
right. And then there's me over here with all this privilege that I'm walking through New York City, going down into the subways, two headphones in, and looking at my phone. I don't even know who's around me, and I surely don't hear anybody. The privilege, I think, and that's what I think is important about this conversation, is I think the privilege that men have in this regard, and I'm not going to lump all men. I know that there are some men who don't always feel as safe, and there's all varying degrees of men and men's abilities to protect themselves or feel comfortable with protecting themselves or feel comfortable dealing with altercations. So I don't want to lump all men in, but I'm saying your typical or traditional male that is walking around with this privilege or the privilege presenting in this way, I just want us to all to stop for a second and recognize that the women around us do not have that same, they're not living in that same reality. And I think that we have to do better to, one, stop being violent towards women. I mean, right away, first off, so let's stop that. And two, let's give women those spaces to let them know they're safe so we can help start to address and bring down those walls of feelings and perceptions of lack of safety and insecurity. So I don't know. That's what I get out of this.
Yeah. I was talking with Maddie, must have been either yesterday or the day before, and I was talking about how when I talk about risk reduction in classrooms, so things that we can do to reduce the risk of an attack happening. And I never say like a sexual assault.
Hike at night. I mean, hike in the day with the dog and a friend.
Yeah, like avoiding those hazardous situations. And I was, you know, kind of concerned because sometimes risk reduction can come off as victim blaming. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking about how there isn't like an oversection of what is victim blaming, what is risk reduction. Because in the classroom, what happened was somebody would say something. I usually have somebody say like, oh, well, what kind of clothes? Like, are you wearing clothes that are keeping you covered up? Like, is that risk reduction? And, you know, it could be, but also, like, you could be wearing clothes from head to toe and you could still be attacked.
Yeah, because we know that clothes don't.
Yeah.
They're never the cause. Never once have they been the cause for rape.
But even,
only the rapist's actions, yes. Even but
me, I could have my big dog with me. I could have no headphones in. Because I told you, I actually just listen to things out loud because I'm just like, I like to have both ears open.
Yeah.
I could have no headphones in. I could not be on my phone. I'm walking my dog and I could still be attacked.
Yeah.
So I could be doing things to reduce risk. I could be walking during the daytime. I could have healthy relationships in my life. I can do all of these things to reduce the risk and I can still be a victim of it.
Yeah.
But what happens in media a lot of the times is we see that article, woman attacked by a man in woods, and we immediately say what?
Yeah, what was she doing out there? What provoked this situation? Yeah. Right?
What did the woman
Why didn't
do?
She have a friend with her?
Yeah. Why did she provoke this situation? And uh-huh. I think that's part of the issue, even in the titles, is woman attacked. And all of them were mm-hmm. woman forward instead of man attacked woman or man being held responsible or criminal charges being pressed against man for.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't agree more that it needs to be perpetrator centered. I mean, that is the source of the danger, is the perpetrator's behavior. So why are we not leading with that? Yeah. Well, I don't know. What's your final message for the listeners? Because I would say my final message is that we need to change that language around. This needs to be perpetrator behavior focused. And I would say, yeah, I just really think men, as a person who identifies as a male, it's a call out to all men that we need to do better in understanding the different realities that different people live in and how we fit into that role. So we should do better.
Yeah. I end all of my weeks of teaching talking about bystander intervention. And one of the conversations is always being part of the creating the culture that you want to be a part of. Mm. So if you want to live in a society where you're okay with people being scared to go on walks alone or with their headphones in, yeah, keep doing nothing. But if you want to change that culture, you have to be part of that change. You have to create that culture in the society you live in.
That's a great bit of advice. Okay, change the culture. Go out there and stop doing so much harm to each other. Recognize each other's realities, and try to take care of yourselves and each other.